to her little office in her home and taped up on the walls everywhere and on the computer screen were all of these missives, things about Bush. She hated him. And she began hating Republicans. Now, I want to go on with more about this because I'm going to go back to what I said to you about observing the Facebook live stream Saturday night in Washington, D.C. from my friends and how they were confronting Antifa and why I'm worried. Let's go to Gail. Gail, thanks for hanging on and then calling back. I do appreciate it. What's on your mind?
Hi. A couple things. In answer to your question, I cannot accept a Joe Biden presidency. And furthermore, when I hear people call him president-elect, I immediately turn it off or tune out and say, mm-mm. So, but what prompted my call was art. By now you know that I'm Catholic, and in many ways it's really hard these days to be Catholic because people do not have a well-informed conscience. And to say that Joe Biden just can go to confession and, you know, then go on with his life, unfortunately, one has to be sorry. You have to be sorry for the wrongs you've done and the sins you've committed to receive God's grace. I believe in general and in confession. So that's pretty much all I had to say.
Yeah, no, I want to agree with you on that. You know, I'm not Catholic. I've never been Catholic. I'm an evangelical, Gail, and it doesn't mean anything because you're 100% spot on. It doesn't matter whether you're confessing in confessional to a priest or you're on your knees before God or just driving down the road and just asking God's forgiveness, because we're human beings and we make mistakes. You got to be serious about it, Gail. You're so right on. Do you think that Joe Biden can do that? Seriously. Can he be serious about his repentance?
I don't think he can, because he continues to do the things that he does. You know, support abortion, deny any wrongdoing, continue to do wrongdoing, you know. Oh, there's a saying, I can't think of it, but it has something to do with if you continue to do what some people may call a mistake or a wrong, then it is preconceived. It's no longer a mistake. It's something that you intended to do. You know, I wish I could think of the exact words. But
yeah, the Apostle Paul wrote about that. Is should we continue in sin because grace abounds towards us? No, you can't and shouldn't. No, you're right.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right about that. You have to be sincere
about
that.
I pray that Amy Comey Barrett, that the dogma continues to live loudly in her. We can't lose the few good Catholics there are.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Thank you, Gail. That was very much worth hearing you talk about, because you're so right on. You know, if you're going to repent, you know, and politicians don't. I mean, this is the problem. And Trump is this way, too. And, Gail, I'm going to let you go because I need to move on to a new caller here. But this is Trump's issue also. And as much as I admire the man and I'm glad that God ordained him to be president during this time, he's imperfect, just like I am. And saying owning up to a mistake is just not something he does. In fact, I know a very few who actually do and then mean it. And it's too bad, because they should. I think we are people of grace. Because we're human beings. We know that we screw up and we make mistakes, and we have to ask people their forgiveness, or should. Politicians ought not be any different. my personal, if Joe Biden did that, I would hold him in much higher esteem than I do now, because frankly, I don't. Let's go to our new caller. New caller, good morning. Who are you, and what's on your mind?
My name is Herman the German.
Herman the German. All right. That's a good one. I'm German, too.
It's a little nickname that I've accumulated here from the Molalla area.
Very good.
And I wanted to make a add to the last caller. Christianity has been breaking up ever since the beginning. And a lot of people may not realize that Vatican II was a great breakup of Christianity. And that mainline church, which was called Roman Catholic, well, Vatican II doesn't call itself Roman anymore. It's a different modernist type of Catholics. And Donald Trump knows that, so he's appointing traditional Catholics to counter these Biden types and Nancy Pelosi types and the present Pope, who are world order type. They are not nationalist. That's my comment. I just thought maybe if people want to attend a church that's truly following the Bible and was there before the Bible for 400 years, I think it's some kind of clarification needs to be done. Because we're just in a lot of confusion with people reading the Bible, and they read the Constitution, and they take what they want out of it. They read it to their own destruction.
Yeah, you know, I got to tell you, Herman, you're right about that, because that, and it doesn't matter whether you're Catholic or evangelical or, frankly, agnostic. The human tendency in the human mind is to distort things or to rationalize it and read into it what you want to read into it. And that's why I appreciate your comments. Herman, thanks for calling in and clarifying that the Vatican II and that Trump knows this, and he's trying to appoint traditionalists. Both
yes,
in terms
he,
of the
he's very astute. He knows his religion. He knows what's going on.
Yeah, he does. Thank you, Herman. I appreciate it. Going to let you go. Ron, I want you to hang on through the break here before we go. And then Nick will get to you after that. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails always to Jeff at 1220.am. Realty One Group, Dave and Paige Smith. A great group of realtors, and they're willing to help you. In fact, they're kind of their slogan is they're ready to go above and beyond to serve you. They're sponsors for us in this particular hour of the show. So why don't you give them a call? 503-939-7099. 503-939-7099. Realty One Group here in Willamette Valley. Dave and Paige Smith. Back in a moment. We'll get to Ron and Nick. Hang on. Lots more to talk about. And I'll get more into this contingent election, how it can play out.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It's 22 minutes past the top of the hour. Great to have you with us. This is the third hour of the Expanded Political Coffee Show, which is what we're going to do for a while here. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Have one line open. Or you can always send me an email to Jeff at 1220.am, and I will try to read it on the air. Like this one from Wolfie, Wolftone. He says, regarding Biden, Yeah. Jeff, I definitely appreciate you and all the work for us. Thank you. He says, I read Biden's children refer to him as chairman. So reply to your question. I do not and never will accept Chairman Biden as my president. You know what other country refers to their president as chairman? Communist China. That's interesting. Let's go to Ron and then we'll go to Nick. Ron, good morning. What do you say?
I'm going to hit you with this. I'm going to answer a lot of questions for you real quick here. Number one, since the late 80s, early 90s, we have gotten away from our history. Constitutional history used to be taught about the Flores of America, Galileo, and Prince Henry Navigator, how they came across to the New World. And since the Oregon, when I first came here in 1993, was number 8 or number 9 in the country on our education. We're lower than Mississippi in the 40 to 50% projectile. 40 out of 50 states any one time, still being the top 10. The reason is our curriculum. And this is something people, you taxpayers that owns properties, you parents, or people that don't have parents, you pay property taxes. When your property taxes go up, you rent. You need to have skin in the game because your education system is falling down into the pits of Hades. And they're using these Thomas Dewey tactics. And we have to stand up against them, not just on the school boards. It's got to also stand up locally. Number two, your kid, the reason the kids that is being, because that young Americans, anywhere from teenage that I mentored, all the way to 30-year-old adults plus, is because they had somebody in their life, a mentor, or they had a parent or an uncle or anything else. They taught them their history. People like myself, who is a black, redneck American that grew up and born in Los Angeles for the first 10 years, and I am insulted when I see things that tries to stir in division. This has been going on ever since the president's been going on. And go back to Occupy Wall Street. They would block off Pioneer Park. You look at the situation that's happened yesterday in Michigan. I served under one flag, not two. Reverend King only served under one flag. My boss, Father Tuskegee, served under one. The Oregon Sons of original band of brothers, Donald George Malarkey, Tech Sergeant of Easy Company, 101st Airborne, founding member of 101st Airborne, served under one flag, under God. And when you go through and you got these kids that starting to read, they can download stuff, they got people in their lives that gives them experience, we're going to give them a backbone. And sometimes, even during the civil rights movement, the abolitionist movement, and even up to basically today, I have a feeling that people has had enough. You cannot go through and serve two masters. We can't have a president that wants to feed the world without taking care of ourselves.
I think people have had enough. And I'm going to expound on that a little bit because, again, it gets into where we're headed. Ron, thanks. And you're right about this. And I'm going to let you go because I want to move on to Nick here. But you're right. The Constitution.
God bless you.
And a number of other things, God bless you too, brother, is not being taught like it should be. Public education, by and large, some places it is. There's exceptions to it. Let's go to Nick. Nick, good morning. Your thoughts today. Welcome.
Hey, Nick, can you hear me? First of all,
there you go.
You know, we as patriots are standing by. But, you know, because we're law-abiding, because we're gainfully employed, it's really hard to come up with a plan, I think, for us to be in the face of the opposition and be effective as they are to us when they get on social media and do bad things, when they go out in the streets and destroy things. They're getting the air play. They're in our face, and they're very proactive and just impactful in the things that they do. So I know, we can vote. Well, wait a minute. If the current voting system stays in place, forget that. So that's my first point. You know, everyone's standing by for some kind of call to action, but other than voting, you know, that's typically what we do. We vote our conscience and we look for a result. Standing by. Second point, you pointed out Trump's transgressions earlier a little bit, And I would say this, you know, if people have compared Trump to Biden, Chairman Biden, Chairman-elect, I should say. And I would say this, that when President Trump was Private Citizen Trump, he was accountable to himself. He did what he wanted to do. He could do what he wanted to do. And he paid the consequences in the private world. But once that man became a public servant, he was accountable to a different standard. So I would say if you want to judge anybody on their history, let's go back 4.5 years or so and see what President Trump had done under his time as a public servant as compared to Biden's 47 years of public service and who he was accountable to.
Yeah, you're right on the money, and your analysis of that is correct, because Trump was always a private citizen. His accountability factors are different. You're right. Joe Biden,
right.
Almost 50 years as an elected member of Congress. And just the fact that now it's been revealed, there are all of these federal investigations into his son and how much that laptop and all of those things that relate to Joe Biden getting a piece of the action, in other words, being bought off and being corrupt. All of that, I think, is interesting that it's coming out right now. Don't you find that interesting, Nick, that it's coming out now? What would be the end of that?
What will be the end of that? Who knows? It depends. You know, we've seen a fleckless Justice Department. We've seen government departments not do what they're supposed to do, even under the Trump administration, which is another indication of the deep state. I don't know. You would hope that each department, whether it's CIA, FBI, the Justice Department, EPA, Homeland Security, who knows? Who's pulling their strings? What kind of power, what kind of coercion does the other side have to levy on people?
It's called blackmail, Nick.
Yeah.
That's what it's called. It's called blackmail, and there's lots of it going on. And it may
Thank
be affecting
you, Jeff.
The Supreme Court. Excellent points, and I'm glad you're ready. We'll talk more about that, too. Back in a moment. 8:30.
Bye-bye.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Last 24 minutes, rather, of the show today. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Got an email from Jarris. Says, if confirmed, Joe will be my president. I will not like it, but God does put people in power for a reason, unknown to us, maybe to pave the way for the fulfillment of prophecy. Okay. So, a contingent election. By the way, President Trump retweeted something from Attorney Lynn Wood. Lynn Wood tweeted, Kemp and Raffensperger, the governor and the secretary of state of Georgia, will soon be going to jail. Let me tell you something, Lynn Wood, I admire you a lot. Unless you have proof that you're going to put out there soon, I mean, like really soon, like you probably should have already put out there, in my opinion, this is not helpful. Because unless you actually put the proof out there, you're just saying stuff, and it's not helpful. Yeah, I know they probably both got kickbacks. There's a lot that's been mused about that, either to family members or other people from the Chinese. Who knows? But, Lynn Wood, if you got proof of this, Sidney Powell said, we've got pictures of checks. Okay. And why don't you put it out there? because early voting has already started in Georgia, and they're using Dominion voting machines. You want to lose the Senate? You need to give Trump every reason to pull the trigger as soon as that report comes out on Friday. It allows him to invoke the terms and the conditions of his executive order, including confiscating, impounding these Dominion voting machines. You better put up or shut up. I'm saying that with all sincerity to both Sidney Powell and to Lynn Wood, because you're in as much of a battle for the hearts and minds of both the American people and for the future of this nation as you are in a battle for the hearts and minds of a Supreme Court or even local district judges or appellate court judges. Just you saying all of this stuff is not enough. You need to prove it. Or just shut up. Now, I happen to admire you both, and I want to see you prove it. Believe me, I want to see you prove it. But you better do it soon, because time's running out. By the way, Mitch McConnell congratulates President-elect Joe Biden on the Senate floor, despite voting irregulations and fraud. And, of course, the Gateway pundit notes that his wife is famous for her business deals with China. Nah, that would never happen. Okay. So as late as 2005, there was a challenge in the electoral process from a Democrat, Stephanie Tubbs Jones from Ohio, and a senator, former Senator Barbara Boxer of California. And they challenged Ohio's electoral votes. The House and the Senate met separately to consider Ohio's slate, because that's what happens when you're in this joint session, then you have to break apart. But after a short debate, Congress decided that Bush was victorious in Ohio. Okay, so how does that part happen? See, this particular article then goes on to say the Constitution does not mandate what the House and Senate must do to establish whether it certifies an electoral slate. And if the House and the Senate actually debate or even vote on disputed slates of electors from a state, what happens if each body reaches a different conclusion? It's mathematically possible that presidential candidates fall shy of the required 270 votes to assume the presidency. Yes, it is. Now, another constitutional professor says, no, the vice president, which would be Mike Pence, because his term doesn't expire until January 20th. On January 6th, he's still vice president. He presides. He has a tie-breaking vote. Yet this article, and this is why it's going to get murky. Oh, and it gets better. What happens if there is an impasse? Well, we get to the contingent election. That's the 12th Amendment. It's happened twice. Thomas Jefferson in 1801 and John Quincy Adams in 1825. Now, again, this is where each state has one vote in the House. Now, Republicans, of course, as you know, have more state delegations than Democrats do. So likely Trump wins. However, there have been 165 faithless electors in U.S. history. These are persons who vote for someone besides the candidates for whom they are pledged. Now, this has been litigated with a Supreme Court decision on it. Faithless electors in 2016 directed electoral votes to Colin Powell, John Kasich, Ron Paul, Bernie Sanders, and Faith Spotted Eagle. Now, here's what's happened in times past, and it might give us a little bit of insight as to what would happen going further. And it doesn't involve the Supreme Court. Now, it doesn't mean that the Supreme Court wouldn't get challenged here in having to rule on some of these things that have not been done before. Like reaching January 20th and not having a chosen president. You see, in the election of 1801, Jefferson and Aaron Burr and the sitting president, John Adams, the House haggled for 6 days. On the 36th ballot, deals were cut and Jefferson became president. The Constitution doesn't say how long Congress has to work out who is president in a contingent election. There's no time frame there. But by noon Eastern time on January 20th, somebody has to be chosen. That's where the 20th Amendment, the Presidential Succession Act, kicks in. Well, that's where Pelosi, by statute, becomes the acting president. Not president, but acting president. And nobody really knows what that means. We don't know if that means that she has the power to pardon people, to commute sentences, fire Trump people, fire special counsels that Trump has and Bill Barr have put in place. Who knows? Probably not. There are some, again, constitutional scholars that think that they do not have that, in that Pelosi, an acting president, would have those abilities. If she tried any of that, and she would, I'm quite confident, then the Supreme Court would probably have to get involved. Now, if nothing's settled by the 20th, there is this thing that scholars refer to as the two claims scenario. Two people are claiming that they are rightfully the president of the United States. This almost happened in 1877 with Hayes and Tilden. The only thing that happened at the last minute was a backroom congressional deal, which gave it to Hayes, which staved off a Senate filibuster. Congress determined that Hayes won by one vote, 185 to 184, even though Tilden had captured the popular vote by 3 percentage points. Now, I want to go back to that. The Senate filibuster. Now, say what you want about Mitch McConnell, and I've had... He's a swamp creature if there ever was, folks. He's a deal cutter extraordinaire. But I got to tell you, he's maneuvered brilliantly in getting all of these judges appointed to the bench. And I'm not just talking about the Supreme Court. I'm talking about all of these other district courts and the appeals courts. That will have profound implications, really, for generations, I think, going ahead. And that's a good thing, because they are constitutionalists, by and large. But the Senate filibuster, he has not done away with the filibuster, because he knows that at some point Republicans in the Senate will be in the minority. And having the filibuster available is powerful. Now, depending on how this all turns out in Georgia, the filibuster may stay or may not stay. I think you're going to have a hard time getting some of the moderate Democrat senators, and there's really only one or two now, like Joe Manchin from West Virginia. You're going to have a hard time getting him to vote to do away with the filibuster. But therein lies a way that this could continue. The question is, when and how under that scenario where Nancy Pelosi is acting president, how do you elect the president? Do you hold another presidential election? What happens? Take 48 back in a moment. No promises, no delay.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
10 minutes till the top of the hour, last segment for today on Political Coffee. By the way, only the first hour is rebroadcast at 6 p.m. However, the entire show will be available on a podcast. It takes a little bit to get that done, but we'll get her done. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Let's go back to Herman the German. Herman, what do you have to say now? Hey, Herman. There we are. I can hear you now.
Oh, yeah. I thought I'd bring back some of the local politics. You might remember some time ago we had a Citizens Alliance here in Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. I joined the Citizens Alliance because at that time I was pretty much fed up with the Republican rhinos and both parties pretty much had joined. Anyhow, at that time we had a Measure 13 to stop some of this perversion in Oregon. You know, the perverts teaching in our schools. And poor Lon Mabon, he had a wonderful referendum going there. And he got shot down. And the press went against him, and he had every religion in Oregon as part of his group, and it was too bad. He had unity but in his group, but he could not get unity outside in the state of Oregon. And it was quite terrible how he got shot down. And those people that shot him down, I'll tell you what, they were the modern Christians, the modern who believe in change. And they could not stay with the moral laws, the rite of law that's been there since Christianity started. I just thought I'd make that comment and let people think about it.
Okay. Thanks, Herman. I appreciate it. We'll let you go.
Thank you.
So if there is no president chosen by Congress at noon on January 20th. Well, Trump and Pence are out of office, no matter what. Nancy Pelosi, under, again, the Presidential Succession Act, I can talk, I know I can, of 1947, is the Speaker of the House. But you got to remember, she's up for re-election in 2020. And the Constitution puts an end date on the terms of members also. So what's interesting is that the 20th Amendment says terms of senators and representatives end at noon on January 3rd. If a federal election were delayed, then no vote would take place to reelect or remove Pelosi from office. She would have to step down from her position also. In this case, the president pro tem of the Senate would assume the office of the president. That's Chuck Grassley right now, Republican from Iowa. But there's more. If no federal election takes place, Pelosi wouldn't be the only member of Congress to leave office. There are 35 senators up for reelection. There were 22 of them were Republicans. And if they're all removed without successors, the 100-member Senate would have just 65 members. This gets just crazy, folks. It's just going to be a mess, folks. That's why McConnell is saying, no matter what, we're going to have the election's on time, and we're going to get all of this done. We'll see. We'll see. Let's go to Rich, who's on the line. Rich, good morning. What do you say?
Good morning. I think what's going to, there's, the Democrats have put themselves on the side, the socialist communists have gotten themselves in a great position. They can get rid of Biden by the 25th Amendment, by putting him in with the corruption of his son, or as Biden said to himself, that he is, if he has an argument with Harris, he's going to come up with a disease and step down. Next. Pelosi, if she gets in as pro tem president, as far as she's concerned, she's going to do everything that the president would do. And you're no one up in Washington is going to stop her.
Well, I don't think so. I think you're right. And this is what worries me about her. And that's why I think the Supreme Court would have to step in to say, yeah, Nancy Pelosi, even if you're acting president, your powers are limited. Now, the question then is, and I don't have an answer to it. Maybe you can help me, Rich. What happens if Nancy Pelosi assumes the presidency as an acting president? When do we have another presidential election? What does the Constitution
say?
Well,
her definition is going to be that I'm acting president, so I have all the rule, I have all the authority to do what I want. So I'm in until the next election.
Yeah,
and
well,
the Supreme Court's not going to stop her.
Well, if we think
the Supreme Court's going to stop her, we're dreaming.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I don't know what they've got on John Roberts, but they've got something. But now you've got three of Trump's appointees unwilling to stand up and having the courage to preserve the republic. That's what's
at stake. There again, I think we should treat Biden, we meaning the conservatives, if they have any sense of reality in Washington, the conservatives, they need to treat Biden exactly like the Democrat Communist Party did to Trump.
So in other words, well, they should try to impeach him if they ever get control of the House again. Now, the
should block everything he's doing and not go to the inauguration at all.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me that Trump wouldn't go to the inauguration. And frankly, I don't think he goes away. And I mean it.
And there again, if I was a politician in Washington, D.C., I guess I'd have to stay home that day because I had to pick my nose or something, so I can't come to the inauguration.
I think there were lots of Democrats who did that last time. I think you'll have less Republicans doing it because there's far too many rhinos in the Republican Party. Good points, Rich. Thank you. I appreciate it. Hey, friends,
bye.
I promised you at the beginning of the show that I would do a couple of things that lighten the mood a little bit. So over the next few days, I'm going to release one or two of these per show. It's things that took me over 30 years to learn. Number one, never, under any circumstances, take a sleeping pill and a laxative on the same night. Ooh. I've got lots of more of those. Friends, be encouraged, have hope, keep praying, stay active, be willing to stand up and fight when you need to. Be blessed. See you tomorrow, 6 a.m. Join me then for more Political Coffee. Make it a great day.